What's up?
Thank you guys for listening in to episode number 3 of the Big Fat Scoop, where we give you the biggest, the fattest scoop on all the information that you need to hear. Today is our Movie Monday episode. Today we're going to be talking about one of the hottest movies that's been released as of lately. That is the movie Us.
You.
What?
It's the opposite, but it's the same. You. It's us. You are us. Get it?
I don't get it at all. Never mind. Anyways, we're talking about Us, horror thriller movie. If you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. No, whatever. You guys are dumb. Go watch it in theaters. I will say right now, spoiler alert.
Spoiler!
If you haven't seen it, you can't be mad at us because we're going to talk about it. So shut this off right now if you haven't seen it, because we're going to give our review and talk about it. So with that being said, let's go ahead and jump right in. What was your guys' – okay, because this movie was really like creepy. Like, dude, it messed with my mind so much. And whenever I watched it, it was – that opening credit scene with the bunnies, like, and that like Gregorian chant type music, I was like creeped out right then and there. I was like, when is this gonna stop? Yeah. It was like maddening. Like, I feel like if somebody was gonna put me in an insane asylum and start playing that music, I would go insane like before the night was even over. That was one of like the first things that caught my attention as being like super like stupid crazy. What about you guys? Like, what were some of the moments that you guys were just, like, almost, like, cringing? Like, God, this is so creepy, so weird, so, like, I don't know.
Well, I had high expectations going into the movie because Jordan Peele, an amazing director, he's like that one guy who has this, like, hidden talent, and then he, like, kind of goes halfway on something, and then everybody's like, oh, my gosh, this guy's, like, incredible, and then he's like, oh, I am incredible, and then he just starts using his gifts. Like, that's him as a director. But I was excited since Get Out was, you know, went up, held expectations up. It was amazing, and so I went into it like, you know, my hands were clenched.
Yeah,
I was like shaking already, and just like you guys said, that opening was super super terrifying, and it really set the theme. Like, it really set the theme.
So weird.
And there's hardly any movies out there that, like, I can't predict. And I don't mean that. And, like you know, the same is with you guys. Because, like, when you really understand films, you, like, you know what's going to happen. Oh, yeah. Like, you can understand it. You can predict it. But that was one of the few films that I'm guessing, like, continuing to guess. And, like, halfway through the movie, wait, are we allowed to spoil?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there ready for this whole movie just to be about their family, but then when the White family gets killed by their
I was
like sitting there, I'm like, wait, what's happening?
Yeah,
and then it ended up being everybody. I mean, as you go on throughout the movie, you find out everybody has their own
their own tether.
But so that was one of the biggest ones for me, because I was like, I was thinking whenever they're looking outside the windows at their house that it was the other family gonna come kill them, and then here, you know, it's them, and I'm like, you have to be kidding me. But it was amazing, honestly, one of my favorite films within the last few years. It really blew expectations out of the water, and I think Jordan Peele has, you know, a lot more to come for him. A lot of people were saying before the movie that they had some kind of connection, Get Out and Us.
There's theories, so, like, on the internet that are pretty compelling, that they're part of the same universe. Right. And when Jordan Peele was asked about it, he did not deny it.
Yeah, he didn't deny it.
I think they're part of the same universe. I just don't think that the two things connect.
Yeah, no. But, I mean, you know, I don't know. I haven't really dived too deep into those theories, but those theories are always out there. Like, I thought, I went into it with a completely different expectation. I literally didn't even know the movie existed until the night before I went and saw it.
What?
Yeah, I never saw the commercials for it or anything, but then somebody at work was like, hey, dude, like, you should go watch this.
Marketing was super low.
I felt like it was high. The marketing was higher after the movie came out.
Right.
Like, when the movie came out and everybody was raving about it, then I saw, like, ads pop up on my Instagram feed, like, several times, and I was like, what is this movie? And then whenever someone kind of explained to me, I was like, oh, you know, sounds a good thing. I'll go watch it. And I was shook from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was sitting there with Marissa, my girlfriend, and I was like just turning to her and being like, I have no idea what's going on right now. Yeah. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like I was like, it wasn't a bad frame of mind. It was like, I have no idea what's going on, but I know that eventually something's going to click and make it all work. Mm-hmm. And it did. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was shook.
I think that's how Jordan Peele works, though. Is he like...
That's how Get Out was, too.
He lets the movie speak for itself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, marketing was super low, like, you know, we were talking about. And then here comes a movie, it's just like raving. Everybody wants to go see it. Thriller. And then the marketing starts jumping up. He lets it speak for himself. I think it's really cool, Bo. What do you think, Bo?
I really liked the movie. I didn't think it was going to be as good as it looked. Because I really liked Get Out. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know, this one just looked like a lot, like it was pushing for scary. Like, compared to the Get Out was. Like, just from the trailers. But then I was thinking, oh, if they're pushing for scary, it may not actually end up being that good. But then after I saw it, I like saw that it was more than just a horror film, and yeah. And like I saw that there was a lot more story to it than just. But yeah, like the creepiness was totally there.
Oh yeah.
Like the if I had to say like a creepy, like the completely creepy moment, and I kind of talked to Walker about this too, already. But the creepy moment for me. Was like the whole movie overall was creepy, but near the end when it's I forget the main character's name, the mom. I forgot.
I don't know if she had a name. Did she?
No, she had.
It was, no, not the girl in the red jumper, but not her tethered, but the actual
the main character. The lady.
She,
I don't know.
Yeah, she had
it. Was, maybe it was, or something
it was,
like that. Yeah.
It started with an A, but anyway, it's like she's about to go fight her tethered, and they're in the classroom. Right. And she's, like, telling the story. She tells the story, and I'm like, oh, man, this is super creepy. And then she, like, puts the stuff down, and she starts walking back, backwards towards her because they're about to fight. And the ballet music starts and everything. And then that entire fight scene, to me, wasn't only, like, just epic, but it was, like, super creepy how overmatched she was.
Yeah.
Like, she won by complete luck.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it was crazy. I don't know. That moment where she just starts walking backwards in the classroom towards her was, and like it's just moving in between the rows like a snake at her. Yeah, that's creepy.
So here's my, like, I love, yeah, I completely agree. I think that Jordan Peele, I think that when we look back on, this is my take for today, I think that whenever we look back on cinema history,
mm-hmm.
25 years from now,
mm-hmm.
we're going to mark down Jordan Peele as being very, very significant. Because mm-hmm. I think that with Get Out and now with Us, he is ushering in a new wave of horror/thriller movies. You know what I mean?
It's like when because it went from the horror movies from years and years ago to Psycho. Yeah. Like, Psycho was, revolutionary in the type of horror it kind of was. Because it used to be all about monsters and, you know, the cheesy monster movies. But then it changed into like, the Psycho movie. Mm-hmm. And I think this is just another reinvention of horror. Yeah.
Well, it is. And it's if you think about what has previously been the main scare in a lot of horror movies. You know, it's usually been something... Like it's always changed throughout history, but as of recently, I think of movies like The Conjuring, and I think of movies like you know, Paranormal Activity as of a couple of years ago, and a lot of those movies are based on like supernatural phenomena, but Jordan Peele's movies are actually based on human phenomena.
Oh, yeah.
And when you look at them, it's not about something outside of humanity that's coming in to hurt us or scare us or kill us, but it's about humans turning on each other and them breaking like social norms and them bringing some sort of racism, or in this case it's like this weird like almost civil war between underground and above ground.
Not only that, but Us specifically, it's a not only a fight between, you know, the people who live underground and the tethered and the people who live above ground. It's like a fight within yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes.
Like, that's something also that, like, I thought was really cool, because at the end, the main character kills her tethered, but then you kind of see, like, instead of, like, the darkness...
Or
like,
the tethered kills her, that kills the...
Okay, we're talking about that.
Okay, no, that didn't happen. That's too big of a theory. That's stupid. Well, like, I guess the tethered, no, but from the beginning of the movie, I guess, whatever. She kills her character... Or her tethered, whichever one. That confused me. But, like, she was, like, acting kind of normal, but, like, she showed a dark side to her. But once she, like, completely killed Red, who was her tethered's name, like, the darkness completely overwhelmed her, so she was, like, reassuming the darkness.
Well,
like, that it was two of them separate. But then once she killed one, she also took on the darkness again as well. Because the spoiler or whatever.
You do know the tethered is.
Yeah, I do know that. But yeah, I was.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. We got to talk about this ending real fast. Because I was shook, bro, at this ending. Whenever I found out that. So for our purposes, we're going to use, Red is the name of the tethered. Mm-hmm. And then main character is the normal lady. But when you find out that day in those House of Mirrors that they were actually flipped, so the one who's been living above ground is actually the one that was born as a tethered, and they flipped, like, that just changes your whole mind. Like, I was like completely like shook. Bo, I want to ask you, since you've seen the movie twice, when you went back and saw it, were you able to catch those details?
Yeah, most
because
definitely.
There's several times, like, okay,
most
so like when
one,
she's in the car and she's snapping off beat.
Yes.
She can't understand normal human rhythmic patterns. Whenever she, she talks several times about how she doesn't like talking, you know.
Something that stuck out the most to me was the, when her parents are going through therapy, or she had seen the therapist and her parents are talking to the therapist. She, at the beginning, she creates a line of animals in the sand.
Yeah,
something I didn't,
yeah,
like, really pay much attention to before, but she creates a huge line of animals.
Huh.
Like, the Hands Across America thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That Hands Across America thing is, like, what Walker said earlier. Mm-hmm. It's, like, what's problem lies within us is gonna, what makes Jordan Peele such an acclaimed director. But I think what part got me the most, so do you guys remember the part whenever that white family was, they were killed by themselves.
They're tethered, yeah.
And then, the original family shows up to that house and they end up killing their daughter kills the twin daughters, you know? Okay, so when they're getting ready to get in their car and leave, she has to run back in there because she left something in the house. What was it?
The keys.
The keys in
the
house. She had to go back in the house and she had to kill off that twin sister. When she was killing that twin sister, the son came in and he was looking at her and was like, had a confused look as to why she was enjoying killing that daughter so much.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Huh.
She was murdering. You caught that.
Yeah.
She was murdering her. And then, like, you could hear in her voice, like, you could hear, like, that she had that, like, that different voice when
that
she was
tethered.
She had the language back,
yes,
the clicking sound they made.
So that's when she was murdering that twin daughter and the son came in and he gave her that look, like, as to why she was enjoying it so much. That's when I started, like, wondering what was going up, because I didn't know why. He gave her a look, and you know Jordan was trying to get you to, he was trying to infer something right at that point, and I'm like, okay, what's happening here? And then as you see at the end, when they're in the car again, the son starts looking at her.
Yeah,
he figures it out. He
figures it
out.
He totally
figures
it out.
Okay, here's
and he's brilliant.
I don't know if this theory holds weight, but I have a theory that I've read on the internet that the boy is a tethered too. Yes, I believe it. Yes, because they said that they went to that house the summer before. They went to that same place the summer before.
Okay.
And whenever they were there, I think it's very possible that he could have met his tethered there and gotten switched. And so then, you know, I think that there's scenes in the movie that show that this could be possible, because whenever his mom is in the car snapping off beat, he's snapping off beat with her. Whenever he is out and about, he always wears this stupid mask with an animal on it.
It's Chewbacca.
Yeah, I know, it's Chewbacca, but, like, he always has to have that mask on, like, almost like he doesn't feel like he belongs in the world around him, and so he's using that as a way to disguise himself. So then one person might ask, well, what about his tethered who has the burnt face? Well, you know how he had that magic trick he was constantly trying to light?
Right.
Well, that's one toy. Obviously, his tethered isn't going to have the exact same magic trick, so he's going to have something to light down below. And so as that boy is constantly trying to light his lighter, the tethered against his will is lighting fire underneath there and burning his face, because the boy is kept constantly holding it close to his face.
Hmm. I mean, that's tough.
No, I believe it, man. I believe it. Because then whenever he gives his mom that look, it's not a look of weirding out. It's almost like...
You're a one also.
Yeah, you are a one also.
But like, he didn't know until...
Yeah.
I can see that. I mean, I might stick with believing the son's just super smart. But I can see that.
I think the son's just super smart. Because I think that would make sense if the boy who has the burnt face could control him.
Right.
Because he doesn't start the mimicking. The other boy starts the mimicking. Mm-hmm. And what they are is they're... Which kind of makes a little bit of a plot hole.
Yes, that because, was a plot hole.
But I do understand, like, also at the same time, like, they said... the main character, like, was a ballet dancer when she was a kid. And yeah. then, like, that's how she ended up becoming normal again or whatever. But she peaked at 14. Well, also, that last dance that they show her on stage... was also the time when that girl danced for the last time in the tunnels. Yeah. When all the other people realized she was different. All the other tethers realized she was different. And then they, like, set her up as this thing. She stopped dancing then. And, like, so then the one up top stopped dancing, too.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the, like, whole layout of the mimicking type thing. And that's one reason why I don't think that the boys were switched at any point. Because if so, I don't think... the one who we see as the normal one would be able to control the other one.
Jordan will always be... I think he'll be a director that always leaves a movie...
With questions.
Yes, yeah.
Because... And that will never be answered.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he wants his movies to always be talked about and always be debated upon because that just gives you more... That gives his movie more time in the world. Mm-hmm. And... just like I believe we were talking about the other day together, Shutter Island.
Oh man!
I mean, Scorsese.
We gotta talk about that another time.
He's never. He's never answered any questions about that. And so it just leaves us asking because I know I debated with Walker. I think Walker and I had two different viewpoints, but we'll get to that another day about the ending. But you know, that's
Teddy Daniels is innocent.
is he crazy? Or
you know,
is he not?
Yeah, so, you know, it's just, I think that's what Jordan Peele wants to be. So, like Walker said, maybe the son is a tethered. I don't think he is, but it's a good debate because maybe he is, but we'll never know.
Yeah.
So
okay, so here's...
Sequel?
No, I don't know. No. So, we've got to talk about themes in this movie because obviously you guys know, being... amateur cinema historians, you know that every movie has like themes that go through it. And one huge theme, excuse
Good
me, folks.
Night.
Yeah.
One,
oh, yeah.
One,
Dawson.
One huge theme in this movie was dualism. There was always a dual set for everything.
Yes.
Everything, man. Like, so you see, like, in the very beginning scene when they're walking on the beach, you know?
I was gonna bring
There's
that
the
up,
shadows. Yeah. You can see their shadow. And that is indicative of how the whole movie, these tethers, aka the other part of themselves, are chasing after them, just like your shadow follows after you.
Did you notice the frisbee?
Okay. We gotta talk about that, too.
What?
How everything, like, that's one thing he hasn't answered upon and leaves us questioning. We're gonna get to that topic, your topic first. But how the frisbee aligns perfectly with the circle on the beach blanket.
And notice the frisbee's red.
Yeah, it's symbolism, man. Yeah. Jordan Peele is so good at throwing those kind of symbolism things in his movie. Like, man, like whenever you watch it, you see all kind. What do you guys say?
Okay, so I just thought of this. Okay, so the frisbee that's red lands on the towel that has blue circles. The red frisbee is on top.
Because the tether's
on top.
They win, yeah.
Right.
No, I'm talking about the tether who switched with her.
Oh.
Right, yeah, because she's
that
on.
Could be
you could look at
too.
Either way.
And
though.
The
you
blue one's on the bottom.
You could look either way because the whole the tethered's all across the United States won, though, because they destroyed
everybody.
Yeah,
but I think
as far as we know, as far as what the movie's shown us, that's the only family that survived.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're just saying, like, you know, even like Navy SEALs and stuff, I guess that they
like
they
die
too.
Why are our Navy SEALs or why is our military not out there with a 50
exactly.
cal in the air?
Because they got killed. But okay.
Well, how long were they down there by themselves?
Who? The tethered?
The tethered.
It didn't say how long the project was going on.
Well, they said that they abandoned them, and that they drove themselves mad, and then it shows
sequel. we find an or we see the origin.
Well, that's the thing you're talking about, Jordan Peele, though. He's not gonna make a sequel because he's gonna leave us guessing.
Well, yeah, that's a silly question.
I mean, he won't. Yeah. I want him to, but he won't. I know.
So, okay, I want to talk about his dualism though, because it's really interesting when you look at it. The scissors. What are scissors? Scissors are two knives that cross together and cut a thing. It's a two that comes together, yes. Right? You have that scripture, Jeremiah 11:11, right? 11:11. That's that time that shows up on the clock. 11:11 is the showing the doubles once again.
The
score
man.
Of the baseball game, 11:11.
Yeah, the score of the baseball game was 11:11. Whenever you look in the house of mirrors, a mirror, right? It shows you your reflection. Mm-hmm. It shows a double of yourself. There's several other ones that pop up in the movie. I think it's really interesting how the movie itself is a double, because when you watch it the first time, it's one movie, it's one experience to you, but because you find the plot ending at the end, you go and watch it, and it's a completely different movie. It's a completely... Yeah. So you're watching a...
It is. Like, you're watching it with a different mindset the whole time.
It's the same movie, but it's a different perception. Just like The Tethered is the same as the one
about
ground, but it's a
different...
You start noticing
things about the mother that you didn't notice, like how she eats the strawberries.
Yeah. And how she only eats strawberries because for the first 6 years of her life, she only ate rabbits.
Yeah.
And so she had gone vegan.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's small things that you catch throughout it. So you realize that this, like really the second time you watch the movie, it's just a copy of the first one, but completely perceived differently.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's another sign of dualism.
So you have to watch it again if you haven't seen it twice.
Watch it again!
Yeah, it's super good. I also enjoyed the Michael Jackson Easter eggs in there. I don't know if you guys noticed those.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Well, the Thriller t-shirt.
The Thriller t-shirt.
Every Tethered only has one glove.
Yes.
Well, another thing is, like, in the Thriller in the Thriller music video, it shows both sides of him. Like, it shows a zombie version of him, and it shows a regular version of him. You didn't notice that?
Jordan Peele.
Congrats,
giving credit to
dude,
the GOAT.
You are amazing.
Oh, yeah.
He really spent some time on that.
Oh, yeah. And
he, you know what
and
the funny thing
was?
I was listening to an interview with him, and he was saying that for about six months, he said, don't put me on record for that, that he had what came out in the movies was, I mean, what we saw was basically the original script, like the rough draft. Like he had it down, and then it just took a couple months of filming. But he had it. I mean, he didn't have to change much within those months.
Mm-hmm.
So he really had it down. But yeah, man, applaud to him.
Yeah. So that's all I really want to get to. I mean, I think that the dualism was really interesting. I think that, but I think that there's also other themes, like, you know, the big theme of the movie in Get Out was really racism, was really kind of the issues. And I love how Jordan Peele was not afraid to attack societal problems, but in kind of a poetic way through the movie.
Yep. That's what.
So with Get Out, you know, he's kind of attacking racism, and but not just like, you know, one-on-one racism, but systemic racism and all that kind of stuff. And Us, he is talking about this deep issue that we have in society right now, where, you know, many people have anxiety and depression because they find it hard to face themselves. And this whole movie is about facing yourself, about facing the darker side of yourself. In an interview, he even said, you know, like the sinful side of yourself, the side of you that has all the issues and the evil parts. Mm-hmm. And how it's a war. It's almost like a battle that goes on between the good and bad inside of you. I didn't know what you guys thought about that. I thought it was really interesting when he said that.
Yeah, you're fighting with the part of you that you don't like to show the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fight within yourself. I think I think that's really cool about the movie.
And it makes you anticipate his upcoming films. You know, whatever they may be, because you know it's going to be another social issue that he throws in there. And maybe we could debate that, but I don't know. That's just, he's one of a kind, for sure.
Yeah. I think, looking back now, the movie, it makes me look at, like, every, like, sewer drain or anything that comes up from the underworld and, like, wait and, like, see if,
I was
like,
already doing that with
evil, like, yeah, oh, it, yeah. But everything I look at, I'm like, man, I don't want my tether to come up and kill me, but
could you kill your tether?
I could.
That's a question. Walker, could you?
Yeah.
Bo?
Oh, yeah.
I could do it.
But he also is thinking the same thing you're thinking right now.
Well, probably.
So.
You think that our tethers are making a podcast right now?
They probably
are. Oh my god.
probably. Anyway.
I'm sure it's not as good.
It's not as good.
Yeah.
But they probably got accepted by Apple.
Did you guys also notice? I just want to point this out. Did you? Because no one else that I've brought this up to noticed this, and they don't know what I'm talking about. So the tethered dad from the first original family that the movie is surrounded around, he's on the boat with the other, with his the original guy who's knocked out, and he's in a trash bag, and the engine stops, you know, because it always does that, and so he's on there and he's hitting it, and you hear. And stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the other family's guy. That's like the white guy. Okay? And then when he goes and he's fighting, because he's killed him, and then they go to the other house and he's fighting the white guy, he's like, gets on the other boat and he starts trying to communicate with him too. But he's dead, so he can't. But like, and then he's just like,
right.
And like, puts his hands up and is like, I don't know why he's not responding. And then he fights him or whatever. But no, and everybody I've pointed that out to is like, those two were communicating. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, yeah, oh, well, I mean, there's
communicating.
No... Yeah, I would say that for sure. It's probably that white guy, just because what you're saying, whenever he got back on to see him, he made that noise. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. Yeah, that part where the white family's tethered came out, that was huge plot... Or not plot hole, sorry, plot twist.
Yeah,
and, big. I did like... the NWA music they threw in there. That was pretty funny.
That was funny.
Good music. Good use of music in the movie. But, man, like, most movies I try to judge pretty hard. I try to find, like, things that I don't like. There's nothing in there I didn't like. Like, I would like Jordan Peele to explain more about the mimicking thing, because I do feel like that's a little plot hole. But it's not that huge when it comes down to it. And I want to know what happens next. Does anybody like? Do the tethered like go to war with the rest of the world, or like?
Are their leader's dead now.
They got their mission.
Red's dead. So what are they going to be doing?
Red Dead Redemption.
Well, no, Red died, and that's the person who assembled all of them.
Right.
But also, I think what's something that's very important to see with what the tethered do is, if you look back at what Hands Across America actually was, and stuff, and you look at the actual event, a lot of what some people don't know, at least, is that it wasn't like they didn't do it completely successfully. Like, there were breaks in the chain all across America.
Yeah.
I mean, there were beginnings and endings and stuff, and I think, I'm not sure if they 100% did it, but they didn't, like, there were breaks in
the chain.
They didn't go over mountains. The tethereds go everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all they, like, you see them on the left side of the screen or something going down into the woods, and then you see them going up over a hill or whatever on the right side, and then it just keeps going. And it's like that their bond doesn't break, and that they're stronger. And so I don't know how it would end, what would be next after that, but I don't know.
Who's gonna break first to go get me some food? Like, that's the real question.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you for listening. No, I'm just kidding. I can't do it. I can't talk like that.
Girl.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. All right, we're idiots. We're just gonna end this podcast right here. Thank you so much for listening. Peace out. Be sure to listen to all our other episodes. Contact us on social media. Talk to you later.
Hey there, podcast listeners. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Big Fat Scoop. We want to connect with you. As a listener, we want to be able to interact with you, and so we want to invite you. Go follow us on social media. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Big Fat Scoop. I repeat, at Big Fat Scoop. There's no the before it, at Big Fat Scoop. Follow us, interact with us there, get the latest news on the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. Peace.